Take me to church. Read. I stooped to enter the cabin, nearly cracking my skull in the process, before straightening to inspect my sanctuary. A cluttered galley full of pots and pans to the right, a threadbare sofa straight ahead, a circular table. I crossed the cabin in two strides. A bed had been tucked behind tartan curtains at the bow of the ship. Two more strides. A second set of curtains hid another bed in the stern. The linens smelled faintly of mildew, of salt and fish. When my stomach gave an audible growl, I rummaged through the cabinets in search of food. It gave my hands purpose, my mind focus. Hunger had a solution, a clear, tangible solution. That pain could be cured with a loaf of hard bread, a jar of pickled vegetables. I stacked them both on the counter now. I cut the loaf with my knife. I uncorked the carrots and radishes. I searched for a plate, for a fork, without truly seeing. When I found them, I ate swiftly, determinedly, every movement efficient, focused. The pain in my stomach didn't ease. Guilt continued to churn until I shoved the plate away, disgusted with the carrots, with the boat, with myself. I couldn't stop thinking about her. We'll rescue you. I don't know how, but we will, I promise. I'd thought myself convicted. I'd never heard conviction until this day. You are a witch, and even if you weren't, you've conspired with us plenty. You've married a witch, slept with a witch, hidden and protected a witch multiple times, and best yet, you've murdered for a witch. Four of us, to be precise, the most important of those, is bleeding out on the carpet right now. I'd never heard such vehemence, such passion. I hated it. I hated her. I hated that I didn't hate her at all. My thoughts spun circles as I washed my plate, the empty jar, as I replaced them in the cupboard along with the bread. Sinking onto the couch, I stared endlessly at the cabin door. I couldn't kill her. I couldn't touch her in that way, in any way. When I thought of it now, thought of giving in to temptation, of trailing my lips down her ribs, or perhaps sliding my knife between them, bile rose in my throat. Maybe I could leave her instead, leave all of them, as originally planned. The thought brought physical pain. No, I couldn't leave her, couldn't kill her, couldn't have her. Which left only one solution, one clear, tangible solution. If I were honest with myself, I should have done it already. I should have done it as soon as I saw my face on that wanted poster. It should have been easy. The right thing rarely was. The door crashed open before I could finish the thought, and Lou burst into the cabin, hair wild, chin determined. She still wore those filthy leather pants, and the top lace of her blouse had loosened. Her neckline had slipped over her shoulder. It revealed a single collarbone, long and delicate. My gaze lingered there for a second too long before I tore it away, furious at myself, at her. I glared at the floor. "That's quite enough sulking, I think." Her boots came into view. They stopped an inch from my own, too close. Trapped on the couch, I couldn't move away without standing, without brushing my body past hers. This cabin was too small, too hot. Her sweet scent engulfed it. "Come on, Jas," she needled, bending at the waist to catch my eyes. Her hair fell long and thick between us. I clenched my hands on my knees. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't. I know things got a bit, well, bad in the courtroom, but we have a plan to save her now. We're going to trick Auguste.
I still don't care.
And I still don't believe you. When I didn't look at her, she straightened, and my treacherous eyes followed the movement. She planted her hands on her hips. We're going to trick Auguste, she continued, determined to tell me whether or not I wanted to hear. By pretending Jean-Luc has arrested us. Abruptly, my attention sharpened on her face, on her words.
We're going to turn ourselves in?
Pretend to turn ourselves in. her brows flattened at whatever she saw in my expression. "We're just pretending, Chas. After we free your mother, we too will be getting the hell out of there. Coco will round up Claude and Blaze and hopefully even Angelica, and we will meet them all at Leviathan." Claude and Blaze and Angelica. Gods and werewolves and witches and mermaids. I shook my head. "Stop it!" Lou snapped her fingers to reclaim my attention. Her eyes narrowed in suspicion. "I know what you're thinking. I can see it all over your stupid face, and the answer is no." I scowled at her finger.
"Yeah, what am I thinking?"
"You want to ruin this brilliant plan of mine."
"It is a brilliant plan."
The praise should have placated her. Instead, it stoked her ire. She jabbed her finger in my chest. "No, no, 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 I know you would try this martyrdom bullshit, as if you rotting in prison or burning at the stake will somehow solve everything. Let me clue you in, Chas. It won't. It won't solve anything at all. In fact, it'll complicate an already complex situation, because on top of saving your mother and battling Morgan and Lavoisin, Nicolina, and a whole slew of other fucking unpleasantness, I'll also have to rescue you." My skin flamed hotter at her profanity, at her mouth.
"Language," I snarled.
She ignored me, prodding my chest again, harder this time. "I know, you're experiencing some big feelings right now, but you aren't going to do anything stupid with them. Do you understand? You aren't going to prison because you love your mother. You aren't going to die because you want to fuck a witch. Get over yourself." Each pause, she enunciated with a poke. My blood nearly boiled now. Ears ringing, I shoved past her toward the door. If she insisted on staying below decks, I would return above. I could endure the others, but she spoke to me as if I were a child, an errant, petulant child in need of scolding, of discipline. It was too much. Wheeling to face her at the last moment, I snapped, "What I do or don't do is none of your concern." A brief pause. "And I don't want to fuck a witch." "No?" Like lightning, she closed the small distance between us. In her eyes, anger glinted brutal and bright and beautiful and something else, something like resolve. When her chest brushed my stomach, my muscles contracted near violently. "What do you want, then?" She leaned closer still, her face tipping toward mine. A hard edge crept into her voice. "Make up your mind. You can't string me along forever. Blowing hot 1 minute and cold the next. Do you want to love me? Or do you want to kill me?" I stared down at her, heat creeping up my neck, flushing my cheeks. "It's a fine line, isn't it?" Rising to her tiptoes now, she practically whispered the words against my lips. "Or perhaps you don't want either. Perhaps you want to worship me instead. Is that it, Shaq? Do you want to worship my body like you used to?"
I couldn't move.
"I can show you how, if you've forgotten,"
she breathed.
"I remember how to worship you."
Red swept across my vision at the image. Whether rage or lust or sheer madness, I didn't know. I didn't care. I was damned either way. My hands seized her shoulders, her jaw, her hair, and my lips crashed against hers. She responded instantaneously. Flinging her arms around my neck, she surged upward. I caught her leg as she did, hoisting her higher, wrapping her body around mine. My back collided with the door. We rolled. I couldn't slow my hips, my tongue. Pressure built at the base of my spine as I ground into her. As she tore away on a ragged breath, as she clenched her eyes shut and threaded her fingers through my hair, I didn't stop. My knee slid between her legs, pinning her against the door. I caught her hands above her head, trapped them there, worshipped her neck with my tongue and her collarbone, her fucking collarbone. I bit it gently, relishing how her body responded beneath me. I'd known it would. I didn't know how, but I'd known she'd make that exact sound, like my body knew hers in a way my mind didn't. Oh, and it knew her. It knew her intimately. I can show you how, if you've forgotten. I remember how to worship you. The words incited me to a fever pitch. Instinct guided me, and I tasted her throat, her shoulder, her ear. I couldn't touch enough of her. The wood groaned beneath my knee, the skin there already chafed and abraded from the pressure, the friction. Instinctively, I transferred her wrists to one hand, using the other to yank her closer, away from the door. I trailed that hand down her back, soothing it as she rolled her hips along my thigh, along the hard ridge there. "Is this how I did it?" I traced her collarbone with my nose, near delirious at the scent of her. My own hips bucked involuntarily, the pressure built. Though a voice at the back of my mind warned me to go no further, I ignored it. We would burn for our sins, the two of us, here and now. I tugged at the laces of her pants, the laces of mine. "Is this how I worshipped you?" Her eyes remained closed as she arched against me, as her entire body shuddered. I savored the sight. I craved it. When her mouth parted on a gasp, I caught the sound hungrily, plunging my hand lower, fingers curling, thrusting, seeking. In this moment, I could have her. I could worship her and pretend she was mine. Just this once. My throat constricted inexplicably at the thought, and my chest tightened. I moved my fingers faster now, chasing that empty promise, pressing her into the door once more. "Show me," I whispered on a ragged breath. "Please, show me how we used to be." Her own eyes snapped open, and she stopped moving abruptly. "What's wrong?" I didn't answer. I couldn't answer. Shaking my head, I kissed her again, desperate to try. Desperate to relieve this ache between us, this yearning I'd once known and almost remembered. I wanted it. I feared it. I kissed her until I couldn't tell the difference. "Read." Her fingers curled around my wrist. With a start, I realized she'd pulled free. She eased my hand from her pants now, her eyes fixed steadily upon mine. They shone with keen emotion. Though I wanted to name the feeling I saw there, to acknowledge it, I wouldn't, I couldn't. Not like this. You aren't ready.
"I'm fine."
"I don't think you are." Leaning forward, she pressed a kiss upon my forehead, feather light. The tenderness in the movement nearly broke me. The intimacy. "Slow down, Reed. We have time." "Slow down, Reed. We have time. We have time." Defeated, I withdrew at the words, my forehead falling to the crook of her neck, my hands bracing against the door. She sank slowly to the floor as silence descended. When I didn't break it, only clenched my fists against the wood, she nuzzled her cheek against my hair. She actually nuzzled me. I closed my eyes. "Talk to me," she whispered.
"I can't."
The words fell thick from my tongue, clumsy. "I'm sorry."
"Never apologize for being uncomfortable."
"I'm not uncomfortable. I'm
adrift. Though I wrenched my face up to stare at her then, I immediately regretted the decision. Her eyebrows, her nose, her freckles, and those eyes.
I could drown in those eyes.
Light from the windows sparkled within their turquoise depths. This close, I could see the ring of icy blue around her pupils, the sea-green flecks of her irises. She couldn't keep looking at me like this. She couldn't keep touching me like this, like she...
"Why don't I remember you?"
I demanded. Those beautiful eyes blinked. "You chose to forget."
"Why?"
"Because you loved me."
"Because you loved me."
Throwing my hands in the air, I stalked across the cabin. It made no sense. If I'd loved her, why had I left her? If I'd embraced her as a witch, if I'd embraced myself, why had I given it up? Had I been happy? Had she? The way she said my name, it spoke of more than a fleeting moment of lust. It spoke of more. Like a moth to a flame, I faced her once more. Show me. She furrowed her brows in response, her hair wilder than when she'd first entered, her collar lower, her lips swollen, and her pants undone. Through the laces, an inch or two of taut, golden skin teased me. When I moved to close the distance between us again, she tilted her head to one side, cat-like. "What are you saying?" Swallowing hard, I forced myself to stop, to repeat the words. Show me how we used to be. Are you asking me? Do you want to remember? When I only stared at her, she shook her head slowly, drifting closer, still studying me. She seemed to be holding her breath. Silence isn't an answer. I don't know. The words came in a rush, as honest as I could give. Just speaking them aloud stripped me bare. I could hardly look at her, but I did. I looked at her, forced to acknowledge my own indecision, my despair, and my hope. A pause as she considered, a small, wicked smile. All right.
What?
Sit, she pointed a finger behind me. On the couch. I sank onto the cushions without another word. Eyes wide, heart pounding, as she followed, leaning against the table to face me. As she hoisted herself up on its edge, close enough to touch. Something in her expression stilled my hand, however, even as she flicked her wrist, locking the cabin door. The scent of magic erupted around us. There. No one can see us. No one can hear us, either.
Is that supposed to frighten me?
Does it? I leveled her with a dark look. Whether intended or not, I'd involved myself with a witch I wanted in every sense of the word, a witch I wanted to taste and feel and know. All of it should have frightened me. The last most of all, but
it doesn't.
Tell me where you'd like to touch me, Reed. Tell me. And I'll do it for you. I'll show you how we used to be.
I stared at her hungrily, hardly daring to believe it. She stared back at me. After another moment, she arched a brow, slipping each foot from her boots. Her stockings came next.
If you'd rather not, of course, I understand. There are two beds. We could rest for a while instead.
No.
The word tore from me instinctively. Quick and thoughtless, cursing my own eagerness, I exhaled an uneven breath.
Slow down, Reed. We have time.
She'd given me this opportunity to master myself, to regain some semblance of control. Obviously, she'd underestimated her appeal. My thumbs itched to rub along her bare soles, to slip over her toes and up her ankles. I glanced at the door. She feigned a yawn. My eyes locked on hers, searching, and in them, I saw the truth. She wanted my thoughts clear, yes, but not just for my sake, for hers as well.
Make up your mind, Reed, she'd said before. You can't string me along forever, blowing hot one minute and cold the next.
Scooting to the edge of the couch, careful not to touch her, I said,
I want you to.
But the words wouldn't come. Honesty choked me. Honesty and fear for how far I'd go, how far she'd go, how far we'd gone already. She cocked her head, her gaze alight with fire. It threatened to devour us both.
Whatever you want, Reed.
Softer, she said. My fear melted at the depth in her voice, the pure, unbridled emotion.
love.
I quickly shook away the thought.
Take off your pants.
If my request surprised her, she didn't show it. She didn't hesitate. Slowly, torturously, she peeled her pants down her legs. Her eyes never left mine. Not until she'd stripped the leather fabric away completely. My mouth went dry at the sight. I'd been captivated by her collarbone. Now the whole of her bare legs stretched out before me, still perched atop the table. The tips of her toes barely reached the floor. Her shirt billowed around her, however. It hid her from me. Resisting the urge to lean forward, I curled my fingers into the cushion and watched, silent, as she leaned back on her hands, swinging her feet as if bored. She wasn't bored.
Now what?
She asked. The hitch in her voice revealed the lie, the breathlessness.
Your shirt.
You're supposed to tell me where you'd like to touch me.
I want to see you first.
And I did. I wanted, no, needed, to see her like a starving man needed sustenance. Her eyes narrowed, but she gradually lifted the hem of her top, revealing more of that golden skin. Inch by torturous inch. After sliding it overhead, she tossed it in a pool at my feet.
And now?
And now she was naked. Gloriously so.
Though I longed to touch her, to reach out and trace the curve of her waist, I kept my hands fisted in the cushion. She wanted me to dictate each touch. She wanted to hear every word for what it was. A decision. Small decisions, yes. But decisions nonetheless, honest ones. There could be no lies between us here. Not like this. Not like this.
Your thigh,
I said, unable to tear my gaze away from her ankles, her calves, her knees, unable to think coherently, to speak more than a handful of syllables, too enthralled to be embarrassed. Touch it. Her belly undulated with laughter at the command. Her shoulders shook with it. I feasted on the sound, on the sight, each intake of breath, each exhalation. Though each bout rang high and clear, delighted, she had no business sounding so innocent, not when her body burned as sin incarnate.
I need more than that, Jazz. Be specific.
Leaning forward, she swept her hand casually to the middle of her thigh.
Here?
When I shook my head, swallowing hard, she trailed a single finger higher, higher still.
Or here.
What does it feel like?
Unable to help myself, I pitched upright, swift and unsteady. My hands trembled with the need to replace hers, but I resisted. I couldn't touch her now. I'd never stop.
Imagine it's my hand. And tell me exactly how your skin feels.
With a wink, she closed her eyes.
It feels warm.
Just warm?
Feverish.
Her other hand drifted to her throat, her neck, as she continued to caress her thigh. Her smile faded.
I feel feverish.
Hot. Feverish. Hot. Your finger. Move it higher.
When she complied, sliding it between her legs, I nearly tore through the cushions. My heart beat rapidly.
What does it feel like there?
Her breath left in a whoosh as that finger moved. Her legs trembled. I ached to grab them, to pin her to the table and finish what we'd started. But this
wasn't like before. This was different. This was everything. Tell me, Lou. Tell me how hot you feel.
It feels...
Her hips rocked in slow rhythm with her finger, and her head fell back, her spine arching.
Good. It feels so good, Reed. I feel so good.
Be specific,
I said through gritted teeth. When she told me what it felt like, slick and sensitive, aching and empty, I fell to my knees before her. She'd spoken of worship. I understood now. I still didn't touch her, however, not even when she added a second finger, a third, and said on a sigh,
I wish it was you.
I wish it was too.
Part your legs.
Her legs fell open.
Show me how you touch yourself.
And she did. Her thumb made delicate circles first, then indelicate ones. More and more, her movements growing faster, graceless, as her legs tensed and spasmed. I felt each press of her thumb myself, the building pressure, the sharp ache, the need for release. I managed one breath, two, then,
stop!
The curt word startled her, and she stilled, her chest heaving. A fine sheen of sweat glistened there. I longed to taste it. Rising on my knees, I gripped the table on either side of her.
Open your eyes.
When she did so, still panting softly, I said,
look at me. Don't hide. I said I want to see you.
Those eyes locked on mine with unerring focus then. She didn't so much as blink as her fingers resumed between us, slow at first, building faster. And on her lips, I leaned closer still, almost touching her now, never touching her. When she breathed my name, a condemnation, a plea, a prayer, the sound virtually undid me. My hand plunged into my own pants. At the first touch, I nearly broke.
Do I?
Lou rested her forehead against mine, near frantic now. A bead of sweat trickled between her breasts as she moved. I tracked its path mindlessly.
Do I make you feel wanton, husband? Does this make you feel ashamed?
No. God, no. Nothing about this felt shameful. My chest constricted tighter at the word, too tight, too small to contain the emotions rioting there. I couldn't describe them except that they felt, she felt, you make me feel right. Whole.
A shiver swept my spine at the confession, at the truth. My skin tingled in anticipation. Her voice might have broken on a sob, on my name, and the moment she came undone, I did too. One hand rose to clutch my shoulder. Mine seized her knee. Our eyes remained open as we shuddered together, and when I sagged into her, gutted, she brushed her lips against mine.
Gentle this time. Tentative. Hopeful.
Her chin quivered. Without a word, I engulfed her in my arms, holding her tight. She'd seemed so strong since the beach, so tough and unyielding, impervious to hurt or harm, but here, after breaking, shattering beneath my gaze, she seemed fragile as glass. No, not glass. My wife. I couldn't remember. Those memories had disappeared, leaving great cracks of emptiness in my identity, in my mind, in my heart. No, I couldn't remember.
But now, I wanted to.